Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We're live on KMOX, 1120 AM, 98.7 FM. We're on Twitter, which is now known as X, but I still call it Twitter. We're on Instagram, I do believe. We're on a variety of social media platforms, but we're glad you're tuning in on the radio. We want you to settle in and enjoy an hour and 40 minutes as we cut things short at 11:40 and then get to an 11:45 pregame, or a little earlier game today, 12:40 first pitch for the Cardinals and the New York Mets. The Cardinals are in position to sweep the Mets. They beat them yesterday. They beat them the day before. And the Cardinals are showing some strength here in the area of pitching. As we have noted, the Cardinals' strength so far this season, and it's been hard to find some things when they were struggling, but now that they start to win back-to-back series, you can see their pitching is the real deal, in particular their bullpen. And think about this, they haven't even pitched Keenan Middleton yet. This bullpen is something else. The Cardinals have Andrew Kittredge, JoJo Romero, and Ryan Helsley in that bullpen. And yesterday, they flexed a little bit at Citi Field, starting with Romero following Sonny Gray. We'll get to Gray in just a minute. But Romero with a one-inning scoreless outing in which he strikes out two and drops his ERA to 1.23. Romero faced three batters, folks. He went in there and faced three batters. He threw 12 pitches, seven were strikes. See you later. I'm done for the day. I'll hand it off to Andrew Kittredge. Kittredge comes in with one inning. He allows a hit. That's it. He strikes out one. Kittredge faced four batters. Kittredge threw 11 pitches, nine were strikes. That dude is something. I mean, the Cardinals, it's early to say this, but the Cardinals look like they won that trade. Richie Palacios to the race for Andrew Kittredge. Why would they give up Andrew Kittredge? This guy is money. Are you kidding me? 0.75 ERA. He is really something. And then Ryan Helsley, who, sure, he made things a little dramatic at the end of the game. It was bases loaded, but Helsley has nine saves. He walked one. That's part of the problem. But he went an inning of scoreless ball, dropped his ERA to 1.80. Allowed two hits, but he strikes out a batter and he gets the pop-up to end the game. Helsley faced six batters. Helsley threw a total of 24 pitches, 18 were strikes. My point is the Cardinals relievers, Romero, Kittredge, Helsley, the 1-2-3 punch, we got to give them a nickname, something cool to close out games, but you know, they're throwing strikes, they're pumping strikes in there. Romero and Kittredge have 10 holds apiece. That is ridiculous. Helsley has nine saves. The Cardinals have won 13 games. And the Cardinals' bullpen is absolutely powering this team right now, along with a stable starting rotation. Sonny Gray is absolutely an ace. Anybody who didn't think that, and I don't know who that was, but anybody who didn't think that he was an ace, he goes out there and flat deals yesterday. Yes, he had four runs allowed, but only one was earned because of an error by Nolan Arenado. Things kind of unraveled on him a little bit in that four-run fifth inning by the Mets. Pete Alonso, who's going to hit any pitch in the vicinity out of the park if he gets a hold of it, got one that was a couple of inches out of the zone on the corner, the outside corner, and he pounded it over the right field wall because, you know, Alonzo's getting smarter. I mean, maybe the younger Alonzo might have tried to pull that and it's an out. Instead, he goes the other way knowing he's strong enough and he hits that ball over the wall for his 200th career home run. And all Gray does is just, you know, adjust what he does, comes back in the sixth inning and posts a zero. That's what aces do. If things go against him, they just buckle up and go back out there. And Sonny Gray is the real deal. Gray struck out nine batters yesterday. And in its six innings, he allowed that one earned run, four total, but just four hits. He walked three. He struck out nine. Sonny Gray has 32 strikeouts this season. 32 strikeouts in 23 and a third innings and continues to look spectacular for this team. He is, with 32 strikeouts, posting just four walks on the season. Opponents are hitting .214 against him. He has a whip, walks and hits per innings pitch of .94. That's Cy Young caliber stuff. He's 3-1 with a 1.16 ERA. He finished second in the Cy Young voting last year, runner-up to Garrett Cole with the Twins, goes to free agency. Cardinals pick him up, 3 years, $75 million. That's looking like a heck of a deal, too. So the Cardinals get Gray, they get Kittredge, they have Romero and Helsley lined up, and they also have Keenan Middleton, who eventually is going to get healthy, and we'll ask Ollie Marmol and John Mozeliak about him here on the show. The New York Mets, we'll see what they've got. A lot of empty seats at Citi Field yesterday. Well, they write a front-page story about that above the fold in New York. I don't know. Well, we have a heck of a show for you. We have Ollie Marmol, the Cardinals manager, at 10:15. We have Chris May, the SLU athletic director, at 10:30. We have, at 10:45, Chris Blair, Worldwide Technology Raceway. They're getting excited over there. It's time to race. NASCAR race June 1st and 2nd with the big cup race on the 2nd. They also had a big announcement this week, five-year naming rights extension with Worldwide Technology. 11:15, big announcement for Mizzou. Laird Veach, the athletic director at the University of Missouri, he will join us live at 11:15 this morning, sports on a Sunday morning. 11:30, John Mozeliak, he is going to jump in as well, live as the Cardinals get ready to take on the Mets. Big show for you. We're excited to bring it to you. We will be right back. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning with Ollie Marmol, sponsored by Graybar.
The pitch. He swings and hits a high fly ball, and under it is Wynn. Here comes Ciani. Ciani and Wynn get together, and Wynn makes the catch and flips the ball to Ciani for a Redbird winner. Oh, a big pitch, and Lindor pops out in center field to end the ball game. Wow. The Cardinals have won this series, winning yesterday 4-2. And they take this one today, 7-4.
The sweet sound of victory. John Rooney with the call on KMOX. We welcome in Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. Always great to chat with him. Good morning, Ollie.
Good morning. I actually have Rooney across the way from me. I was talking to him right now.
Awesome. I love that. He is the voice of the Cardinals for a reason. That is a tremendous call and a tremendous win. A lot of things going on in that game. And take me to that very moment. Ryan Helsley bearing down on Francisco Lindor. Had kind of a tough day with Sonny Gray, and in the end, he pops up to Hels. What did you see there?
Yeah, game on the line there. Helsley has had he's done a really nice job of just taking the ball and being available for us, and makes a pitch on Lindor, gets the pop up, and Mason kind of twirls around. I got blocked by the umpire, so I couldn't see if he made the play or not, but I'm glad he did. That game was over, and another win for us, but it was a really good game, man. You start to look at what Kittredge and JoJo and Helsley have done over this week, and it's been pretty impressive, and then some really big swings as well. I'm sure we'll get into, but yeah, solid game yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's go backwards. So that bullpen, Romero, Kittredge, Helsley, that 1-2-3 punch, I got to come up with a nickname for him. But then when Keenan Middleton joins, you got even more firepower. Well, let's talk about those three guys in particular, the confidence of handing the ball off to that chain of events there, 7-8-9.
Yeah, they want the ball when the game's on the line, and it starts in the seventh inning based on Lane, righty, lefty. It doesn't matter. Kittredge has done well against both. JoJo's done well against both, and they've created a really nice identity in that pen. That once you hand the ball, that game's over, and we trust those other guys, and we'll see some of them today. And Fernandez has done a nice job, and Libby and Gio, and you go down that list. But we have a lead after six, and it's pretty tough.
Absolutely. And you had a lead after six, and you had something happen in the fifth where a lot of things happen, an error and then a home run by Alonso. But that Sonny Gray, that's what an ace does, isn't it? I mean, I love all the zeros, but I really respect a guy who comes back and posts a zero after giving up a few runs. Of course, they were unearned.
That's the difference, right? Like being able to yes, that happens, and you go back out and do what he did and give us that last inning, that's an important inning, because that's the inning where the game could get flipped. And it allows us to go to our three guys and end that game. That's a pro.
What's he like to work with, Sonny? I mean, he seems old school to me. He reminds me of some of the pitchers that I covered really early in my career, Ollie.
He's a beauty, man. What I can say about Sonny, he has a purpose behind every single thing that he does, and he has a purpose behind every single pitch that he throws during a game. Like, he can sit here today and walk you through every single at bat, why he threw each pitch and what he was looking to do. And it's impressive, man. He's just super intentional with everything he does. And that starts from the second he wakes up to throwing that first pitch of the game. And then the in-between starts, it's just, this is a guy you definitely want in your uniform, influencing the guys next to you. It's incredibly impressive.
Let's play a few Rooney highlights to give Gray that cushion in the first inning, and we'll let you comment on that first inning and how it developed. Here's your leadoff hitter, Brendan Donovan.
There's a swing and a drive. It goes off Alonso's glove, trickles into foul territory. Donovan is on his way to second. He has a game leadoff double. Finally, Donnie's catching a break there, Ricky.
That's right. And then Wilson Contreras dumped one into right center. Two on, one out, Nolan Arenado.
Hauser is ready, working from the first base side of the rubber. His pitch, that's stroked into right field, dropping in for a hit. 1-0 Cardinals. Contreras making his way toward third. He's going to make it easily. The throw is late from DJ Stewart. Arenado with 13 RBIs, 1-0 Redbirds.
Next batter, Paul Goldschmidt.
Arenado away from first as Goldschmidt swings, and he drives it to center. That is hit way back in the gap, and it bounces short, hopping the wall. That scores Contreras. Coming around, Arenado, the throw, the slide, save at the plate. A two-run double for Paul Goldschmidt. 3-0 Cardinals in the first.
And, Ollie, that had to feel great as you've seen Paul Goldschmidt start to make that contact again, and that was a big one right there to put you up 3-0.
Absolutely, and setting the table. Donovan's taking much better swings. He feels like he's getting back to what he does well and being able to kind of that head-high line drive all over the field, and he's doing that a lot better right now. Contreras is a threat, but Goldie starting to kind of stay through the baseball a little more. We've seen better swings out of him, and that's no different with Gorman. He's starting to take better swings too. So you go up and down that lineup, and you look at the style of baseball that we've played, and I like our rotation. Our bullpen's done a really nice job of keeping us in games where we're behind, but also when we have a lead, just finishing the game. Our defense has been good. Guys are running the bases. They're smart and not just aggressive. And the one thing that's been lacking is offense. And, man, it's starting to come together. Guys are taking better at-bats. They're starting to string together quality plate appearances. And it's resulting in some wins.
Absolutely. It's Gorman flew out after the Burleson walk. You're still alive here with Mason Wynn. And here's how it sounded.
Now the pitch for Mason Wynn. A swing and a ground ball. Right side, right field, base hit. Stewart's up with the ball. Coming around third and scoring, it's Paul Goldschmidt. The throw to second and back safely. Burleson just getting back in ahead of Lindor's tag.
Mason Wynn with the single, and the Cardinals have a 4-0 lead. And Mason, I mean, that one was a ground ball, but he has hit the ball. He's elevated it. He hits line drives. He hits ground balls. He shows speed. He's done a lot for you, hasn't he?
He's done a ton, and that's just a good approach right there, man. They're giving him that four hole, and he's able to hit it and just take what's given and not trying to do too much and pull, and just he is doing exactly what he needs to do as a hitter, man. He takes the shots when he needs to, and then if someone's going to give him that hole, he's going to take it. It's an RBI. It's a perfect approach. He's slowing the game down offensively in a way that is fun to watch, and his energy is incredible.
And I have to think we're going to see that again from Jordan Walker. It's just a matter of time. In fact, it happened last year where you saw something, the team saw something, and he went down to make an adjustment, came back, had a great 2023.
Yeah, he's taken the last couple of days to work on some of the adjustments that we've been talking about up here, and I believe he'll be in the lineup and playing right field today.
That's good, and I understand that Dylan Carlson is starting to make a step towards recovery.
Yeah, he's feeling a lot better. He's been able to take BP on the field several times, do some machine work, and we're looking at early next week for him to start that rehab assignment with the Memphis team.
Excellent. I had a listener text in and wanted to know a couple of things. Drew Rahm, how is he coming along?
Yeah, he has an appointment here early this week. I believe it's on Tuesday to get another look at what's going on there. His progress has slowed down quite a bit, so we're wanting to make sure we take another look before moving forward with anything.
Then they also asked about Tommy Edman, which I'm glad they did because I haven't heard a update on him lately. How is Tommy?
Yeah, Tommy is making progress. It's been slow, but he's definitely making progress. He's swinging off the tee from both sides, and then he'll progress to soft toss and then BP. But we're making sure that wrist has the strength that it needs in order to not have any setbacks.
And the Cardinals, Lance Lynn taking the ball today as the Redbirds take on the Mets at 12:40. I know we're getting close to game time, so we're going to call it here and appreciate all of your input. It's very much valued. You know that, as close as we are to game time. Thank you. We'll let you get back to it, and we appreciate it. Go get a win today.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol with us on KMOX. They're going for a sweep today. Great to visit with him, as always. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to be joined by the athletic director at St. Louis University, Chris May. He's had a good week. Josh Schertz has pulled in some transfers. He's pulled in some recruits, and there is some momentum building, as we anticipated, with the St. Louis University basketball program. Chris May is with us. Speaking of athletic directors, Laird Veach, the athletic director at Missouri, former GM of Mizzou Sports Properties. After that, he went on to a number of stops, including Florida, which I thought was a big, big move for him to learn the SEC in a little more depth. Then he went to Memphis and had a great run there, and they have picked Laird Veach to come back to Columbia to run this athletic program, and he is going to join us at 11:15. John Mozeliak, a little more baseball talk at 11:30. And don't forget Chris Blair. For all you race fans out there and sports fans who are curious about, I hear this a lot as we get close to the NASCAR race. I start getting texts from people. Hey, you have any tickets to the NASCAR race? I'm like, they're gone. They're like, I told you they're going to sell out, and they're gone. So I would not wait too long. I understand waiting and checking weather and things like that, but I wouldn't wait too long on this June 2nd NASCAR race with the concert and everything else. It's going to be awesome. And if you hesitate, you might miss out on it. And I don't have, you know, endless tickets that I can just direct you to either. So I hope that people jump on it. Anyway, Chris Blair will be with us to talk about why this is such a big deal right now for not only the Metro East, but the St. Louis area. NASCAR is a huge brand, and their president was in town just a few days ago and called us the greatest sports town in America. We'll be back in just a moment. Sports on a Sunday. He's right, by the way.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's on a Sunday morning on KMOX, sponsored by Graybar.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Fun show today. Ollie Marmol, the Cardinals manager, just joined us from his office in New York. Cards Mets coming up in a little under 2 hours, with a pregame at 11:45 and the first pitch at 12:40. So a little over 2 hours for that first pitch. Joining us, and it won't be long, we'll be talking about his team back on KMOX, and that's the athletic director at St. Louis University. Chris May joins us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Tom. How are we doing today?
Doing well. It's been a fun week, or weeks for you, with Josh Schertz being announced as the head coach of this program. And as you hoped and anticipated, there have been some players who have followed. Pretty nice-looking class building here for the Billikens.
Yeah, it's been great. Josh has put together a high level staff that's recruiting very well, and he's got they're adding players daily in the portal. I think we're gonna have another big announcement today. So yeah, it's been an exciting time as working with Josh as he puts the pieces together of what he thinks it's gonna take to win A-10 championships and make runs here at SLU. So it's certainly an exciting time. What's been really neat about it, Tom, is that the whole, there's a whole region of people here who are following this. I was up in Southwest Wisconsin yesterday, and I was in a Holiday Inn Express. I'm walking through, I got my Billiken gear, and all of a sudden this guy comes up to me and knows all about our basketball team. And so there's a lot of people paying attention to Billiken basketball right now, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, that is great. And you know what else is, I hope that this is the case, that the schedule comes together to where some of these big names will play you too. And that, that it becomes also great for national viewers to see high level basketball, but that St. Louis University, obviously the bigger programs that you play, the better position you're going to be in come selection time.
Well, no question. And that's that balance that you always have to strike when you're putting a schedule together. And Josh's team's working on that right now. Also with the net today, it's as much science as art in putting a schedule together that puts you in position to be in that large. And that's all of our conversations, is how do you have a schedule that puts you in position to be in that large team in the NCAA tournament? Who do you have to play? Where do you have to play those games? The results you've got to get. We're also having a lot of those conversations with Bernadette McGlade and the Atlantic 10, and how the Atlantic 10 schedules to put teams in position who are really committed to competing at the highest level to have the type of schedule it takes to be in that large team. So a lot of that work going on right now.
Josh Schertz's Indiana State team, really he played seven guys. That's what he liked to do. He didn't go too deep into his bench. The starting five and then the sixth man, actually, Xavier Bledson, was awesome, but he has run out of eligibility at this point. You're starting five for Indiana State. You had Julian Larry and Jason Kent go to Texas. Ryan Conwell goes to Xavier. And then here comes the big man. Robbie Avila makes it official. He goes to St. Louis University. What a day that was. And I know the days leading up were probably a lot of fun, too.
Oh, they were. It was great to get to meet Robbie and his parents and his brother. Just wonderful people. And I think the Billiken Nation will totally embrace Robbie and his family. They are wonderful people, and they are very, very fired up to be on the Billiken team. They're already calling, buying extra season tickets, bringing people down. So that Robbie is just a fantastic young guy, and Isaiah as well. Just got to meet his family, and they are very fired up to come be Billikens.
Isaiah Swope was the next one to come over. That guy is a killer. I mean, he is a cold-blooded shooter from the outside. He really is something.
Well, Tom, what didn't get reported a whole lot is he was playing with a leg and a half. He had a leg injury that he got taken care of when the season was out. And so when you look at what he did, not being 100% healthy for the last 2.5 months of the season, it's really exciting to see what might happen when he's 100% healthy.
Yeah, he is really great. And back to Avila, it's his ability to be a great teammate, but also from a basketball sense, teach the players coming in what exactly Josh Schertz is trying to do. To have a facilitator like that on the floor, just so people understand, and I'm sure if they've watched Indiana State by now, they know that he is not your traditional back-to-the-basket big man. He can do that, but he does a lot more than that.
Well, no question. He is a big, big, big-time passer. He can shoot it, but he can really pass it and facilitate. He's a special talent. When Josh talks, it's interesting. I've been in many of the conversations. He's like, basically, we have the five spot, and then we have all these other positions that rotate around and flash to the basket and screen and kick out. And so, but Robbie clearly is a very, very special talent. We can't wait to get him here on campus and get him in our sports performance area and really help him grow and get strong and maximize his wonderful potentials.
That's good to hear. Max Picard, I wanted to ask you, I really haven't had a chance to talk to you about him, the 6'11 recruit. Yeah.
Max is a very, very talented big from the Netherlands originally. is a big kid that 6'11" with a 7'2" wingspan and can really run and shoot the ball. And so Max will grow into the system, but he'll remind a lot of people of Rob Lowe of back in the day. But he is a really, really talent that his long-term upside is huge for our program.
All right, that's a good comp. I like that, Rob Lowe. Josiah Doetzler is a transfer that didn't get as much attention because he came from Creighton and not Indiana State, but Creighton played him, and he was also the Gatorade Player of the Year in Nebraska. That tell us about him.
Really, really, Joe's a really, really talented young guy. He played, obviously, on a great Creighton team, didn't get the moments he thought he wanted, was a phenom in high school, really, really a dynamite young man that our Billiken faithful are going to like, and just a wonderful kid. He's a high-level student and a high-level basketball player. And so we're thrilled to have Josiah coming as well.
You also brought in the great Chicago recruit, A.J. Casey. How are those season tickets rolling? I mean, are you seeing an uptick here?
Yeah, it's been great. We've had a lot of deposits already. We're moving up our renewal time so that all Billiken faithful can get the renewals and get their seat improvements done, because we've got several hundred requests now for new season tickets, and we think that's going to grow rapidly once the kids can come, then you can really start marketing the images and the young people. And let's not forget, Gibson, Jimerson, Larry Hughes, and Kellen Thames coming back, and they've had some unbelievable workouts in the last 2-3 weeks. So it's going to be an exciting time and shape its arena for sure. But between the season ticket deposits, massive social media excitement around Josh and the signings, we've had great increases in those spaces. The NIL space we're active in, and that's going unbelievably well. So it's we've got a lot of momentum, Tom. But what's been great about it is it's turned into momentum for other sports and other teams. You know, you and I talked many times about the great job Rebecca Tillett's doing. She wins the WNIT. She's got a big announcement coming tomorrow on a big time recruit that she was able to get out of a Power Five school. So that's exciting. You got baseball competing for an A-10 championship. We've got two series coming up the next 2 weeks with George Mason and Dayton, but our baseball team competing to win the A-10 championship with a couple locals. You got Pat Closey and Tyler Fogarty, both Chaminade kids who are leading this team. You got softball team competing for an A-10 championship. And then one sport that doesn't get their due is our tennis program. Played great in the A-10 tournament, and they've got a shot to play in some postseason that we'll find out about tomorrow. So this basketball excitement has really helped everybody really grow and grow the excitement, and everybody's got a little extra bounce in their step as you see these spring sports really having great success. So it's a lot of fun on St. Louis University campus right now with their athletic teams.
Yeah, you can see that happening. Jimerson comes back. You mentioned Hughes and Thames. They all seem to be great fits for this system. I can't wait to see Jimerson kind of let free now to get around and get some shots off. But you're right, it does create momentum for everybody, and before you know it, soccer is back. What about, let me ask you this before we go, going back to Rebecca's program, you know how much I feel about this, being on the inside as their play-by-play mm-hmm. voice on radio. How do you capture the momentum of women's basketball and translate that to Rebecca Tillett's program at Chaffetz Arena?
Well, you just keep growing. You keep growing. And as Rebecca and I talked, the WNIT is another big step. What she's able to do, and she's such a great coach/teacher. She is really a consummate teacher. And as we continue to take advantage of the recruiting opportunities, like we'll hear about tomorrow, that's how it's going to continue to grow. And that's what I'm really excited about, in that this team, we had the Phoenix Dinner Champions. We had it last week about winning the WNIT, and the Rebecca did this really cool thing about the next year's captains and about how the torch is being handed down to the next leaders. And Peyton Kennedy and Ken Calhoun spoke about this season, but what moving to the next step is. And it was really neat to listen to these women talk about building something unbelievably special. Obviously, Kylie McMaken was an unbelievable rock star that she came and took the great skills she had from Longwood and did an even better job here. But you can see the foundation getting built with that program. And that's what I'm really excited about, is that the foundation's getting built for consistent excellence. And when you do that at a high, high level, like Rebecca and her staff and our team's doing, there's great potential in women's basketball here at SLU. So it's really an exciting time.
Seeing her in the same room with Dawn Staley and Gino Auriemma, I know how much she appreciated that and how that adds more inspiration to what she's doing. She looks up to those two for sure, and it's going to be a lot of fun to see that program develop. That is exciting to hear about her recruiting announcement forthcoming, and another transfer, as you teased, on the men's side, perhaps. Of course, we let the player himself make that announcement, so we appreciate that, and we look forward to it. And thank you, Chris.
Yeah, well, big exciting news coming today on that front. So, again, you know, winning breeds winning. And we've just got a lot of wins going on off the court right now, which lead to wins on the court. So I couldn't be more excited about what's going on across the board. Again, Josh has helped light the fire. But we've got a bunch of coaches, like I mentioned. From Darren Hendrickson is going to break 1,000 wins here in the next 2 weeks. That's a high, high level of wins in college baseball. We're battling to win an A-10 championship there and with softball. And so there's just a lot of great things going on, and I couldn't be more proud to partner with KMOX and you, Tom. You've been unbelievable in helping us promote Billiken Athletics. And so I invite everybody down to campus next weekend. We've got both softball and baseball series going on next weekend. We invite everybody down to see these kids get after it, because we've got some really wonderful Billiken student-athletes who are having high levels of success.
Hopefully we get some beautiful St. Louis weather for you, and we can enjoy all of that together. And thank you for being a great partner to us. And we look forward to the upcoming games and then next season as well. Thanks so much, Chris.
All right, Tom. Have a good one. Take care.
Chris May, the athletic director at St. Louis University. When we come back, the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway, Chris Blair, on KMOX's Sports on a Sunday Morning, sponsored by Graybar.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billiken's win! Billiken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
We get to spend the next 7 minutes with the general manager of Worldwide Technology Raceway, Chris Blair, is with us. And in 7 minutes, you would miss a lot in the Cup Series race, the Enjoy Illinois 300, I'll tell you that, on June 2nd. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great. Yeah, the days are counting down, and it's fast approaching.
It is, no doubt about it. You've got a race, you have a concert, you have all kinds of stuff to put together. It is one big event. Let's start, though, with the big announcement this past week. I was there for it. 5-year extension with Worldwide Technology as your naming rights sponsor. And while that seemed like a foregone conclusion from a lot of people, it is a big deal. Dave Stewart and Worldwide Technology have really given so much to help make all of this happen, haven't they?
Oh, they really have. And, you know, it's so great to see, you know, when this originally started, it was an idea of Dave's. And now to see how the entire Worldwide Technology family, the marketing departments, the sales department, everybody over there is really they're seeing the benefit, and it's really helped them with what they're trying to accomplish. It's great for the community, which is another big part of what they like to do. Having the association with an organization such as Worldwide Technology, it really opens a lot of doors for us as well. So it's a win-win for both, and we're just really excited to have them coming back.
Kyle Busch has the pole for today's race in Dover. He is your defending champion. I would not count him out today or on June 2nd, and certainly you're going to be ramping up some things with him here shortly, aren't you, with number 8?
Yeah, we sure are. Kyle, you know, Kyle and I go way back from our days in Vegas together, and he's always been just a tremendous supporter of anything that we've been doing through his teams that won here. You know, when the truck series returned here 10 years ago, Bubba Wallace was driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports at that time. And you know, Kyle and his entire team over there, they've always been supportive. Now seeing him racing with us in the Cup Series, you know, he finished 2nd year one. He wins it in year 2. He obviously knows how to get around our racetrack, so we're pretty excited. And I'm glad to see him, you know, rebounding because, you know, after our race last year, his team kind of went on the skids a little bit and had a, the rest of the year was terrible. So now we're starting to see some progress. He's making a pretty solid run. This is probably a good time to be doing that, and he should be super competitive when it comes time for him to get here in just over a month.
Steve Phelps, the president of NASCAR, was in town this past week. What was it like to hear his words calling us the best sports town in the country, but also praising what the track has done to really continue what NASCAR wanted to do, which was make Cup Series races available to everyone?
Well, you know, it's one of the great things about Steve, and he's a fan of all sports. And when we were, you know, just having the initial conversations with them about having a race, he came to town. That was back in 2019. You know, he's from the Northeast, so he was a Boston Bruins fan, unfortunately. And he was in town while we were doing some of our playoffs. He was there the night we clinched the Western Conference when the Blues did. And we knew we had that matchup coming in with the Bruins. So we had a pretty good rivalry going on that one. But, you know, he's been here, being able to see the teams. And it was so great when he was here because we had him with Dave Stewart and then Andy Taylor, all kinds of folks from the sports scene here in the business community in St. Louis that really welcomed him in. And that impressed him. And then seeing just the way the city and our businesses rally around all of our sports properties, it was fantastic. And that had a big part to do with us getting that race. He knew that if it came here, that the community would support it. And hearing Steve's comments, it was fantastic. You know, gotten to know Steve very well the last few years, and he's sincere. When he says it, he means it. And you know, we're very proud of that fact.
Yeah, we have a way of just drawing people in here in St. Louis. If you're not from here, you just become one of us, and you kind of get why we just love sports, truly. I mean, love building our region around sports, and that's what Curtis Francois and this group has done at Worldwide Technology Raceway. You and I have been in partnership. I've served as a brand ambassador, let's say, in a lot of ways since before NASCAR Cup landed here, and I see the inner workings of the track. I mean, Curtis and your staff really make it happen, but you build around it this race, an event. You've delivered your promise, and now we have this Confluence Music Festival with, and to your point, you know, diversity, inclusion, everybody involved in this music event. This is not a country music event. It's not a hip-hop event. It's Ludacris and Riley Green. It's T-Pain and Adam Wainwright. It's Big and Rich and everybody else jumping in. I mean, it's really something.
It really is. You know, when this started out, it was supposed to be just, you know, we were trying to line up a couple of music acts to play around the NASCAR races. And we were having those conversations with Dave Stewart and his team and Dave too. And they said, hey, we want to get involved in the music aspect. And it went from being a couple of music acts to 30 music acts and a full-blown production. You know, Kofi Coleman and the team over there at the Muni got involved. They're the ones who helped put it all together for us. And it really is a great community play, and it showcases so many things that we're doing. It's not only, you know, diverse music acts, but there's also a big component of this is making sure that we're showcasing musicians from the St. Louis region. And so that's been very important, too. So there's a lot of artists that that we've been showcasing, such as, you know, Bailey Zimmerman last year. He was grew up just 90 miles from here. We've had Alexandra Kay the year before. She's going on doing some great things. So we try to showcase both the local talent as well and give them that platform to show what they're doing. And that's all because of the dream and the vision of Dave Stewart, Dave Two, and everybody over there at Worldwide Technologies that in the Stewart Family Foundation. They're really showcasing a lot of great things about St. Louis.
On your website, WWTRaceway.com, the Enjoy Illinois 300 countdown ticker, I should say, is going. It says 35 days, 3 hours, 33 minutes, and 30 seconds. So, yeah, it's on. What do you think you want fans to know the most, Chris? What should fans know about this event as they start to get their tickets and plan?
Well, the number one thing, they just need to know that when they buy that ticket that gets them through the gate, it gets them the world of everything that's taking place that day with the music festivals, the car shows, all the different things that we have going on. So we're really emphasizing this year that, you know, your race ticket is your concert ticket. You don't have to buy anything else to get that exposure. But it is really an event like no other. And the positive comments we're getting from the industry, there's so many people other tracks that are seeing what we're doing, and we're kind of the guinea pigs for some of these other tracks. We're trying it, and then they're going to they follow and do it themselves. And so, you know, we've been a pretty good little test shop for a lot of the things that are going on. So when the fans come to our race, they know they're going to see something that they're not going to get anywhere else. It's an event like no other. And we just keep trying to grow and make it bigger and better each year, which, you know, when you talk about that countdown clock, that's one of the things I try to ignore it as much as possible, because I know that, you know, we're always looking for the, to the next event. You're only as good as your next event. And with each day when we get there, our goal is, what are we going to do today that's going to make the event even bigger and better? And that's our number one mission.
NASCAR weekend.
There, yeah, they know they're going to see a show.
Yeah, that's right. June 1st and 2nd, WWTRaceway.com. Thank you, Chris.
Hey, thank you, Tom. See you.
We'll be right back after the news.